We are honored this morning to have in our morning chapel service Pastor Colin Mercer, who is the senior minister of the Faith Free Presbyterian Church here in Greenville, South Carolina. It was my privilege this summer to spend some time with Pastor Mercer and his wife Heather as I attended their church service and went out for dinner and to get to know him and his heart. And I thought that he would be a perfect one to come and speak to us this morning on the subject of prayer. They have two daughters, and his oldest daughter is Lois, and she graduated here from the university last year, and then their daughter Hannah, who is a student at Bob Jones Academy. And I trust the Lord will speak to your heart as God speaks through Pastor Mercer this morning.
We're turning this morning to Daniel chapter 6 for our Bible reading, and as you're turning to that passage, let me thank Dr. Pettit for the invitation to come along today and to bring the Lord's Word, and also for the welcome this morning. It is a real joy and privilege to be here. It's a joy and privilege to renew fellowship with him. And we pray the Lord's blessing upon him and his wife and family as he commences this new aspect of his ministry for the Lord here in the university. It's also a joy to come and have opportunity to preach the Lord's Word. It's a privilege to preach on the subject of prayer. And it's a double privilege to be involved in this day of prayer. And we do pray with you and pray for you that the Lord will bless this day to your heart. The Lord will give you grace to pray. And as you come with faith, that the Lord will hear prayer and you'll know his blessing richly upon you at this time. It's always good when we come to prayer to turn to the Word of God that our hearts might be stirred. And that's what I want to do this morning as we come to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to take the time to read from verse 1 of the chapter, some way down into the chapter. It's a very familiar passage, the passage that records the events surrounding Daniel as he gives himself to prayer. So reading from Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any man, god or man, for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts. Verses 10 and 11 that I want to draw particular attention to, as we see Daniel here with a victorious prayer life, even in the midst of great trouble. Daniel chapter 6 opens with the account of Daniel's promotion by Darius, the king of Babylon. Although Daniel was a Hebrew and had been brought to Babylon as a captive, it soon became very clear that he had a different spirit. He was a man of incredible integrity and deep conviction concerning his God. He was a man of principle, trustworthy, honest, God-fearing, courageous, spiritual, and a man who lived with a heart that was set on heavenly things rather than on the things of the earth. And right at the very beginning of his time in that foreign land, Daniel made an impression as a true believer, as a man who had committed his life into the care and keeping of Jehovah. I don't think the Babylonians understood all of that. In fact, they tried to remove any reference to the Lord. That's why they changed his name from Daniel, which means judge of God, to Belteshazzar, a Babylonian name with no reference to the Lord at all. They had no interest in his spiritual life. And yet for all of that, they could not deny that Daniel and several others with him were very special men with very special gifts. And so in time, Darius, the king of Babylon, set Daniel into a place of leadership and authority in his nation. Verses 1 to 3 of this chapter give us the details. We read there that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. There are three very important statements in those verses regarding Daniel. We're told here that Daniel was the first, that he was preferred above, and then the king thought to set him over the whole realm. It's not hard to understand what's taking place here. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 16 and verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. There's something very important to note there. As believers, we should endeavor to do everything for God's glory, to do everything to please him. And that will mean that we will strive to be at the very best that we can in the place that God has us for at that particular time. Daniel was an exile in Babylon. He could have grown very bitter. He could have harbored a grudge against God and against others at that point in his life, but he recognized that God had brought him into Babylon in his providence and for his purpose. And Daniel served God in that place with all of his heart. So much so that even an ungodly king was compelled to recognize the vital contribution he could make in the kingdom. And those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we ought to be the very best that we can be for his glory. We ought to be the best teachers, the best office workers, the best students, the best friends, the best homemakers that we can be for his name's sake. But Daniel's promotion was not without controversy. For in chapter 6 and verse 4 here, we learn of the attempts by the other presidents and princes to find fault with this man of God. Their desire was to belittle and destroy his testimony for God. The language of verse 4, where it records that they sought to find occasion against him, suggests that these men were looking for something, some indiscretion, some failure, some error of judgment, some sin in Daniel's life that they could accuse him of. They were looking for some particular fault. They were on the lookout to find something to point the finger at. But they couldn't find a thing against him. And so they determined to attack Daniel on the basis of his faith in God. They hatched a plan, they devised a strategy, they framed a law that no one could pray except to the king for a period of 30 days upon peril of being thrown to the lions. Darius foolishly signed the decree. So Daniel now faced a great dilemma. He faced a tremendous challenge to pray or not to pray. But note the comment on the language in verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being upon his chamber up toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Verse 10 is one of the greatest statements concerning a life of prayer in the Old Testament scriptures. It's full of instruction for believers today, and especially as we come to this day of prayer. I think we often think of Daniel escaping from the lions, but we ought never to divorce that from the fact that he was a man who had a vital, vibrant, and victorious prayer life. And as you come to the commencement of this day of prayer and set yourself to seek the Lord today, I want to draw some thoughts from this text of Scripture that should encourage and challenge and help in prayer. Surely we also desire to have a victorious prayer life, the kind of which we discover here in Daniel, this man of God. And there are three thoughts that I want to draw your attention to especially. Notice, first of all, Daniel's estimation of prayer. His estimation of prayer. There is no doubt, as you read these verses, that Daniel valued the place of prayer in his own life. He was a man who understood the worth of drawing aside from his regular duties and spending time with God. Daniel did not think that prayer was something he could live without. Rather, his life centered on the Lord and on communion with Him, and his estimation or his evaluation of prayer is seen here in three ways. You'll notice that he was a young man ready to die rather than cease praying. Verse 10 reminds us, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed." Daniel knew the writing had been signed by the king. He knew what that writing was. He knew that these other princes and presidents had come to Darius with this decree that anyone who would pray would be thrown to the lions. It was a death sentence. And Daniel knew that that letter had been signed by the king. He knew it was royal law. As far as the law of the Medes and Persians was concerned, it could not be changed. Daniel knew what that meant. But even though his life was in danger, even though there was this threat of death hanging over him, he continued to pray. Communion with God was more important than life itself. That's how much he valued getting alone with God and seeking God in prayer. And there was also here that prayer was a vital and regular part of his daily life. We're told in this verse that he prayed three times a day. It simply means this man of God made time for prayer. Remember, he was a principal figure in Babylon. He was a prince. He was one of the leading men in the political and social life of that land, a man with huge responsibilities upon his shoulders, a man with many demands upon his time, many issues to deal with, many decisions to make, many issues that he had to give attention to. But Daniel was a man who chose the better part and spent time with the Lord. That phrase and that thought is highlighted by the phrase at the end of this verse, verse 10, "He gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Simply means as he did before. Daniel did not suddenly pray because there was an emergency in the nation. He did not suddenly pray and begin to pray three times a day because the king said, "You can't pray." This was something Daniel did on a regular basis. This was his habit. This was his custom. Three times a day he would go to his room and he would pray. This is how he spent his time. This was how this man of God ordered his life. It reminds me of the psalmist David in Psalm 55 in verse 17. He says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." There was something very regular about David's communion with God. Sometimes we talk about daily devotions or daily time with God. And there are times when we find it hard to maintain that to the level that we ought to or that we need to. But here was a man, and prayer was a vital and regular part of his life. You'll notice also from this text that he prayed unashamedly. Verse 10 tells us that his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. And then you have in verse 11 the statement that these men found Daniel praying, the presidents and the princes that had set this plan in motion, this trap for this man of God. We're told there in verse 11 that they assembled and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And you can picture that scene. This man of God, he knows the letter has been signed. He knows what lies ahead of him. And he goes to his room, and with the windows being opened and men able to see him, he still gives himself to prayer. They found him praying. I think that's a tremendous statement. Right there, with those few words, we see in a very clear way the value this man places upon the place of prayer. They found him at prayer. Daniel could have argued, or some may have argued with Daniel, you can just pray inwardly. Daniel, just go about your business, and as you go about your work day by day, you can just pray inwardly, and no one needs to know that you're praying at all. But such was the estimation this man had of prayer and getting alone with God, that he continues with his custom, and unashamedly he seeks God at the throne of grace. And men found him praying. Good question for us to ask ourselves at times. Is there any point in the day when someone could find us praying? Is there a point in the day when those that share the room with you, can they come in and find you at prayer? When you're at home, could it be said that your mother or father comes into the room and they find you at prayer? As people walk around the campus today, as you engage in this day of prayer, will they be able to say, we find young men and young women, we find them praying, making supplication before your God? That's how it was with Daniel. And these men, these words remind me of men of God in history who had the same desire for prayer, men like David Brainerd, who spent hours before the throne of grace, valued prayer above everything else. And young people, we should always view prayer this way. We need to pray. We need to seek the Lord for our personal walk with Him, for our interaction with others, for our life, for Christ, for this nation, for the spread of the gospel across the world. We need to pray. And may we ever hold prayer in high esteem, for prayer is vital for the believer. Not only do I see his estimation of prayer, I see his exercise in prayer, because this passage begs the question, how did Daniel pray? And let's be honest here, we sometimes find prayer hard. There are times in every believer's life when we are not inclined to pray. There are times when we do not know what to pray for. There are times when we find it very difficult to continue in prayer. We may come to prayer. We may set time aside. We may come with our hearts stirred by the Holy Ghost. And within a short time, it seems that the devil has come in and other things have come into our mind and hearts. And we find prayer difficult to continue and to maintain. Sometimes prayer is a hard experience. So how did Daniel pray? How did he exercise this life of prayer? Well, notice a number of things from this verse. Notice he prayed with a heart that was prepared. Verse 10 tells us that his windows were open toward Jerusalem. Now, why is that important? He didn't open his windows toward Jerusalem just to see the view. And it wasn't some kind of lucky charm that he had just to open the windows and think about Jerusalem in some kind of vague way. When Daniel went to pray, his windows were open toward Jerusalem. Though he couldn't see it with the naked eye, he understood as he opened those windows and considered Jerusalem, he understood that was the place where the temple was. It was the place of the temple services and especially the place of the temple sacrifices. Jerusalem was the place of the altar, the place of the sacrifice, the place of the priest, the place of the offering. And all of those things pointed this man to the Lord. One commentator said Daniel did this because the temple was a type of Christ, through whom the persons and prayers of the saints are acceptable to God. He opens the window toward Jerusalem and he considers the sacrifice, the shedding of the blood that pointed him to the Lamb of God. And that's vital for us as we come to pray. We have access to God in prayer only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 makes that clear with these words in verse 19 and verse 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Our Savior died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb, and on the third day he rose again. And then he ascended back to glory, and the everlasting gates were opened up, and the King of Glory entered in. And as Christ entered in, the Father said to him, "Sit thou at my right hand." And Christ entered into heaven with his own blood. And he lives there to make intercession for his people. He presents the merit of his blood, of his sacrifice on behalf of his people. And on the basis of the very same blood, we have access to God in prayer. We're not trying to find or work our own way into God's presence. Christ has opened that way for us. We've been singing already about the high priest we have in glory. Sometimes when you come to pray, your mind is filled with guilt of the past sins and maybe even present sins, and Satan uses those and argues, how can you pray? Look at your life, look at your sin, look at your guilt. What's the answer to that? What though the accuser roar of ills that I have done, I know them well and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. My God looks upon my sinless Savior, and he accepts me in Christ. And I have peace with God, and I have access to God in prayer because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have access, I have acceptance, I have assurance, I have the spirit of adoption whereby I can come and cry, Abba, Father. The way has been opened for us to come into his presence through the blood of the Lamb. We come through Christ with confidence. Come with him, by him, through him, and unto him. We have nothing to fear, for Christ draws us nigh to the Father at the throne of grace. I see also here that Daniel prayed with genuine humility and reverence. We're told that he prayed on his knees. The posture in prayer is not all important, because we find in Scripture other men who prayed standing up, men who fell upon their face to pray. But the thought here of Daniel upon his knees is of him coming with humility and reverence into the presence of the King of Kings. It's interesting to think that there are two thrones in this passage. There's the throne of Darius, and he's an ungodly king who has signed a very unwise law. And then there's the throne of the King of Kings. And Daniel comes to the King of Kings with great humility. The king that ruled in the nation had said it was against the law to pray. But Daniel had his eye upon the King of heaven and earth. And he came before him as a man of dust and ashes, but bowed his knee. And we were singing that also today, bow the knee. Coming with humility, coming with reverence, saying, as Christ has taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All the glory belongs to him. He prayed with thanksgiving too. You see that in verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. When I read that, I asked myself the question, what would Daniel have thanked God for? He's just learned that if he prays, he's going to be thrown to the lions. But here he comes, and part of his prayer is marked with thanksgiving. And we have so much to thank the Lord for. His mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness never changes. He's a God who pities us as a father pities his children. And he has sent his Son to be our Savior. It doesn't matter what circumstances we are in life, how hard, how difficult, how troublesome they may be. A child of God has always reason to thank God. There are sometimes we feel in our thanksgiving. And if we would just stop to think that once we were sinners, and now we are sinners saved by grace. We can sing, "Thank you, God, for saving my soul." Daniel prayed with thanksgiving. Notice also there, he prayed with supplication. He not only prayed, give thanks before his God. And verse 11 tells us, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. The thought is, here's a man who's earnest in prayer. He's bringing petitions to God. He's wrestling with God in prayer. He's not just going through a form of words. He's not just playing at this matter of prayer. He's praying with supplication. Because true prayer is a work of the heart. And we need the Lord to stir our hearts so we might pray with supplication. He prayed also before his God. The thought there is that he prayed as a man in touch with God. A man in touch with God. Here's Daniel's exercise in prayer. How does he do that? We read that kind of text in Scripture. We read of men of God like this in history, and we wonder, how can they do that? Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 gives the answer to that question. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We cannot pray in our own strength. We need the power and the help of the Holy Ghost. Paul in Ephesians 6 speaks about putting on the whole armor of God, and he finishes that by speaking of praying in the Spirit. Jude in his little epistle talks the same way, praying in the Holy Ghost. And we need the power and the help of the Holy Ghost as we pray. And if I can suggest, as you commence your time of prayer today, make that your early petition, that you might know the ministry of the Spirit of God helping you, giving you the very things to pray for, stirring your heart to pray. He's the one who produces prayer in our souls. He stirs us, he quickens us, he revives us, he refreshes us. He gives us the things to pray for, he increases our faith, he reveals Christ to us, that we come to the throne of grace in his name. We cannot pray on our own. How many times have you tried and failed? How many times have I tried and failed to pray in my own strength and it doesn't work? But when I know the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, it seems as if you can't stop praying. May the Lord come and baptize us today with the power of the Holy Ghost, that his presence might be known. We might be men and women who are in touch with God. We might pray with supplication before God. Daniel's estimation in prayer, his exercise in prayer, look at his effectiveness in prayer. A casual glance here might make us think that his prayers were worthless. After all, he was arrested and thrown to the lions, and the king could do nothing about that because the law had been signed. It was the law of the Medes and Persians. It couldn't be altered. So as we worked down the chapter, we didn't read the whole chapter. You know the story well, where Daniel was taken and thrown to the lions. And it seems on the surface, if the story finished there, it would seem that Daniel's prayer life was very ineffective. But the story doesn't finish there. And we discover as you read through the rest of Daniel's life and comments in the New Testament also, that Daniel's life of prayer was extremely victorious and extremely effective. For example, his life was spared. He was preserved. The mouth of the lions were stopped. And though he spent a night there, in the morning he was brought out of that place. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33 tells us that it was by faith. And if you take time to read that chapter of the heroes of faith, you read there at the end of that chapter that there were those who stopped the mouths of lions by faith. Daniel prayed believing that the God who called him to Babylon, who raised him up, would take care of him, and either whether he lived or died, it would be for God's glory. But he prayed believing, and prayer was answered. His enemies were exposed as well. Those who signed and brought that decree to Darius to be signed, they were the ones who were then thrown to the lions and they were destroyed. Daniel's enemies were exposed. I also discover that his God was glorified, and we find that in chapter 6 and verse 25 of the chapter here, because King Darius makes a statement, "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed, his dominion shall not end." Daniel's God was glorified, and Daniel himself was prospered. He was exalted in the nation. The Lord's gracious hand was upon him. And surely our prayer as we come to a day of prayer, and your prayer, would not only be that we would have a vibrant, victorious, vital prayer life, but that in our praying, God would have the glory. That he will be glorified as you think about those particular prayer requests that have been mentioned. A walk with God that's marked with purity. A walk with God that's marked with Christian maturity. And a walk with God that's marked with Christian service. We pray those prayers that God might be glorified. That whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, it would be for the glory of our God. Daniel was a young man who knew the power of God in prayer. And may, right across this campus today, you know that power of God in prayer as well. May the Lord bless this time to you, minister to your heart, thrill your soul as you see prayers being answered. May the Lord encourage and strengthen and bless you throughout this time. May the Lord bless his word to your heart. May the Lord encourage us to realize that Daniel's God is our God, and he can meet our every need also. He who strengthened him in prayer can strengthen us in prayer as well. Let's seek the Lord together as we close this morning. May the Lord bless his word to you today. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time around thy word. We do pray for these young people that, Lord, thou will bless them and be with them. We ask that thou would encourage their hearts today. We are very much aware of the devil's attack when we come to pray. Shelter this campus beneath thy blood. Give help and power. We do pray for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That, Lord, I would be pleased to send the showers of blessing, revive and refresh and stir every heart. We pray, Lord, that we might see in hours and days to come tremendous answers to prayer. Bless those who serve thee here. Be with them and use them for thy glory, we pray. Bless thy word to our hearts. Giving thee thanks for thy goodness and grace toward us, we pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen.